I'd like to call the May 9th meeting of Ways and Means to order. All motions will be to adopt unless otherwise stated. Can I have approval of the April 11th meeting minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes as submitted.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Is there any need to be taken out of order? I thought somebody said something to me earlier on. Okay, maybe not. Resolution number 77. Can I have a motion?
I'll make it.
Adopt?
Postpone, actually.
Okay.
I second the motion to postpone.
Second.
Can I clarify? Are we postponing for 1 month?
Yes.
Any discussion?
We postponed this for 4 months so far. Are we ever going to resolve this? Or are we just going to keep postponing it for the next year?
Thank you, Chair Criswell. We have met once at the Ulster County Financial Advisory Board, Investment Advisory Board. We have discussed this resolution, not in detail, but we know it's out there. And whatever the end result of our meetings at the advisory board, we're going to be taking a good look at this and any ideas that the county executive's office may be putting forward.
It's a good group of folks, and we'd like to give them the opportunity to do their work before we vote on this.
I like that report, and I would also say that I think that a lot of these things could be done without them being formalized in a policy, especially if we're moving from a situation of not having been heading in this direction. I think we need some time to make sure that we have banks of the types that we need and the ability to set up accounts that could comply with this policy before we make it a formal policy. Not that that would, the direction that's in the policy strikes me as very healthy and good, but I think we might have to do some problem solving if the banks that are around us that we know and that we can gather information on can't get us to full compliance with this immediately. We might have to have some sort of phase in.
All right. The other thing I'll just we follow up. I think we have in our rules that we can only postpone 3 times.
If the sponsor consents, it's fine.
Okay.
You postpone it.
All right,
perhaps we could advise the sponsor of this and encourage a withdrawal of the resolution between now and next month.
Who's the sponsor?
Lonnie. I could follow up with him again. I did have a discussion with him, and he is trying to go through the process of the new investment committee to weigh in with their opinion first. So. All right, all those in favor of postponing?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Can I have a motion? Resolution 167. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second? Can I need a second?
Second.
Second. Discussion?
I'm sorry. I don't have anything on this.
So I just want to extend my gratitude to this committee for the referral. At the prior month's meeting, the process, according to plan, it went back to the clerk. The clerk was able to pull the language that had previously been in the old occupancy tax law that included the allocation to tourism, inserted it here as an amendment. It was amended in economic development, so the version you see in front of you will have that language in it. And then just for background, you know, the story with this has been the prior occupancy tax law included an allocation to tourism, to make sure that the tourism was at a specific level. Tourism spending by the county has always exceeded that level. It continued to exceed that level. The language being removed by the sponsor of the current occupancy tax law didn't, you know, even though the language was removed, that didn't change. It's not like tourism lost funding. The funding continues, and this just makes sure that it will continue with part of the funding coming from this source, as was in the past, as was expressed to me at the prior meeting here. And so it is back before you tonight, and I appreciate you being patient to let it run that course and bounce back to economic development and now come before you in its amended form.
Just to reinforce that, the tourism portion of the occupancy tax is currently at about 33%.
Yeah, if you were to calculate it out.
I just want to appreciate the sponsor for making this. Thank you.
Any other comments? I'll just say, you know, I'm not in favor of this. I think putting money aside in specific buckets, well, I understand we have the option to pull it back later. That's easier said than done. I don't see what we can do by doing this that we couldn't just do by simple taking it out of the reserve fund and putting it into a line when we actually have a project before us. I see no real, other than the optics of it, I see no benefit in doing this. I'm going to be a no.
And if I may, and I'll probably say this on the floor if the same question comes up, but the optics of it are actually pretty important because this is a fund that when folks that are building housing or, you know, redeveloping housing, affordable housing, which is what the Housing Action Fund outlines is the goal, you know, having the funding available and having it available in a sustainable way, these projects take a long time to come to fruition. And to know that that money is there and that the county is committed to it in a sustainable way as opposed to a one-time injection is fairly significant.
We still have to approve the money to those projects.
Yep, absolutely. And if the concern, I mean, like I said, you said it was optics, and I pointed out that that's sometimes the optics help.
And I also heard you say that it's sometimes harder than we might have mentioned to change things. That's the intent. It's, we want it to go this way. If there's a good enough reason, we can change it, but we don't want to change it for just an average or an easy reason. So I think that it can be harder to come backwards on something like this is part of what gives the optics and the gives somebody who might want to rely on this some assurance that there's been some expression of this intent.
Yeah, I guess I should clarify my comment. I'm more focused on the idea that maybe doing this during budget time, that would be fine. But I see us coming up on it. I got a commitment just earlier today that we should see, hopefully by the end of this month, if not the beginning of next, the results of that salary study, which I keep saying, some of us are going to be in for sticker shock when we see that. So this reserve fund that we have of 100 and some odd million dollars, but never quite sure where it's at, that money is going to be needed, I think, to cushion us through some pretty significant salary changes that we're going to have to make, and we're going to have to cushion it over several years in order to not have to have a significant impact on taxes. So I'm not necessarily opposed in the long term not of doing this. I just think we've got some major expenses that are potentially coming up that I would rather see us know what those impacts will be and then see where we can and are able to do this. Mr. Hall.
I view this as an investment in the future too, because right now we're spending, I believe it was $10 million in emergency housing per year. That's a significant amount of our existing budget that we're spending on emergency housing. We can put money away to get more supportive housing. If we move people off of emergency housing to supportive housing, we'll end up saving money. So I think having a fund that helps us to move people off of our expenses off of emergency housing into supportive housing will be useful to do too. And it'll save us longer term.
All those in favor? Opposed?
Wait, how many opposed?
Four.
So that's.
Be here.
There's seven.
Seven.
We need four to pass.
There are eight, but nope. It's still.
No, there's
there
seven.
Are seven.
Seven.
But doesn't the chair count as a vote?
It's 15 plus chair.
He's number
six plus chair.
Oh, sorry. I will learn to count soon.
All right. The resolution is defeated. Resolution 211. Can I have a motion?
I'll make that.
I'm leaving anyway, guys.
Oh, okay.
Second.
I'll move it for adoption.
Second. Discussion? I just have a question up here. If we weren't doing the Penrose project, would we have to do these things?
With respect to the signal, the answer would be even without the project, the signal meets the warrants. The traffic up there would meet the warrants. Would we have to do it? The answer would probably maybe depending on public safety reasons, but it is a condition of the site plan for Penrose. That's why it's being forked. Penrose will pay a portion of the costs associated with the signal.
Okay, I don't know why. I mean, you know, at first, we've given a lot to this project from the county. We did the demo. That wasn't part of the original deal. Now we've got a gate, we've got a signal, and the traffic lane deletion, the right lane, it just seems like, and they got $5 million something dollars from the state. Am I correct? The number five?
Well, if you look at their capital stack, I mean, their capital stack is they've got money for to fill the gap from their capital stack, yes. But I would add that you also are a traffic generator up there, and as such, the sense that what I told you in terms of the need to essentially the signal for the warrants would be one that when we did the original traffic study, we did not recommend the signal. The signal came out from the city planning office in terms of their recommendation, but it does meet the signal warrants even without the Penrose project in place.
I guess that word maybe is what's concerning me. So we're doing less up there than we did before. So why would this? Why are we the cause?
I'm not saying you are. I'm saying that if you did a study as to whether a signal was needed up there, given the existing uses on the hill, the warrants would basically say that it was okay to put a signal up.
Okay or required?
It's a difference. Warrants never require a signal. So what you would end up doing is taking a look at the accident data, the crash data, the crash history up there. The crash history up there would probably suggest that we don't need a signal, which is why our original recommendation to the city was that a signal wasn't necessary.
Yeah, I just think Penrose needs to pay more of this. I think this project has been, you know, slow moving to begin with. I mean, we've had this discussion in the past, and it was funding was their issue. Well, then they got the $5 million, and while we are, it gets moving forward, it's just not as quickly as I think I would like. And it looks like we're paying again for things that, to this project, that just means more money in their pocket at the end of the day.
So I would say relative to moving slowly, we anticipate that we'll have a closing. Penrose is indicating that they will close on this project, transfer of land, and pay the county in June.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be a no likewise on this. I support the original Penrose project when this was taken off, as many of us did. But again, you know, Penrose is not a multi-million dollar company. It's a multi-billion dollar company. You know, their website is pretty extravagant, how they're bragging about the execution to get things done, the financial capacity to do things, the experience. And it seems like we're doing all the heavy work here and paying and putting all the bills. So any more resolutions regarding to giving handouts to billionaires, I'm going to be a no on.
Behind you, and I'd also love to say something.
Just want to speak to the timing. Penrose has had a lot of barriers put in front of them, and they have done a lot of work. I can say, run by three meetings with them, they do a lot of work to try to push this project through, and we're very, very close to the finish line. We're looking at a close in June, and they have taken new expectations and new funding costs upon themselves. Like they've taken on the whole water supply system in the city of Kingston. They paid for it themselves, and so there's a number of things that were required from them in terms of community benefits to the city of Kingston or the city of Kingston residents that they paid. And just to remind everybody that what we're building is 164 units of supportive housing with that's very affordable and includes housing for frail and elderly people and victims of domestic violence, and it's housing that we really need and we're very close to.
Yeah, this is $22,000 and it's a project that the city has wanted. If you look at the diagrams, it will make that entrance egress area better. So that and the timing issues, if we're very close to the finish line, it just seems like we should put this little small piece in place and not have something like this become a a problem area. It's going to be better if we do this without regard to the project. It could have been cheaper without regard to the project, but we expect the project, and so why not do the better thing that's going to work very well with the project that we need with all the housing it's going to bring.
Peter Collins.
If this is 164 units of supporting housing, supportive housing, that probably places an equivalent number of emergency housing. We're paying $65 to $85 per night for emergency housing every single night. If you look at the math, this will pay for itself in a week. If we get this up, so the longer we take to do this, the longer we take to get Penrose up, the more money we're spending on emergency housing. So let's get supportive housing built. And if this is $22,000 to move this project along, I'm for it.
Mr. Hanson.
You had just mentioned about the water project that they took on. Do you have a number, a financial number on that? I'm just curious.
With some trepidation, I will tell you it's over $500,000 and less than $1 million. And it's improvements that not only benefit the Penrose project, but the county's water supply system. There's a tank that the county owns on Golden Hill, right? There's a tank that the city owns, which is down on Marius Street. The pump station that runs from basically our tank up to our pump station, their tank up to our pump station, does not work. It's now fed by gravity. So there's at risk, the entire water supply system up on Golden Hill is at some risk, particularly with the heavy water demands. So when the city water department reviewed the plans, the suggestion was to basically replace and improve the pumps on the existing pump station that the city owns. That will allow us to essentially make sure that there's enough water supply for this project, as well as improve the water supply situation on Golden Hill, including that of the nursing facility.
One final thing, Mr. Chair, you know, this project may be labeled affordable housing, 164 units, but there's nothing affordable about this at all. It's seen a price tag of over $80 million. That is a grand total of about $487,000 per unit. In the real world, we could build a lot of housing for that $80 million.
And I'll just say that this isn't a matter of the housing getting built, not getting built, and timing. I absolutely agree that housing needs to get built and we need to do this. There's been no holdup from the county side. We've actually, and Kevin and I sit on a separate committee about this, we've been trying to push this and sort of, you know, push Penrose to move faster on this. This is a matter of the county footing the bill for something that Penrose is just now going to have more profit at the end of this project in their pocket, and it's coming out of taxpayers' pockets to do that. That's my point on this. I am not disputing the need for the signal light, any of that. It's just, why should the taxpayers have to pay for it when it just means the private developer is going to be benefiting more at the end, especially now that they got the $5 or so million in funding to close their gap. So, any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Four. So, it's defeated. Resolution 212, can I have a motion?
Motion. I'll move it. Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
This is the contract for that, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
This is the design work for the project with the signalization and removing of the travel lane.
It's Mr. Chair, if you're calling for discussion, again, I'll be a no for the reason stated on the previous resolution.
Any other discussion?
I just want to say, in response to some of those comments, that I don't disagree with you that this somebody has to pay for this, and if we pay for it, then Penrose isn't. I do think that there was a lot of negotiation ahead of time about whether or not this project would go forward and what Penrose would do and what they wouldn't. And this seems to me to fall kind of in the category of, we wanted this project, and so we were willing to put some skin in the game. And if we could find somebody who was going to do this at cut rate prices and, you know, that we still felt would have a product that we wanted our seniors and domestic violence individuals to be in, then that would be great. But we didn't have that. We have somebody who does these big projects, does them very well according to the things I've seen, and charges a lot of money for it. They will be affordable, the ones, the units that are supposed to be, to the people who have to pay for that. It's not necessarily affordable to us, except that it is because we're paying so much for other sorts of housing for many of these residents in this facility. So you can be pound wise and, you know, penny wise and pound foolish. And, you know, we're talking about $53,000 here for the design work and $22,000, so talking about $75,000 for something that will benefit people beyond this project. So I don't understand voting it down. I can understand making a statement and having, you know, getting those opinions out there. And, you know, I don't want to put money in corporate pockets any more than the next person, probably less than many. But I do want to put money in the pockets of somebody who's doing something I want them to do, if they, that will get them to do it and get them to use their resources for a project I want. And so are they playing us or are we playing them? I'd like to think we're playing them a bit as well here. We certainly will if we get this facility as it's been presented up and running. I think we will have done very well.
Just to echo to that, when you say affordable housing is not affordable because it's $80 million, affordability comes into play when you're talking about who can afford to live in the unit. And some of these units are available to people who make, I mean, Dennis, if you would be able to chime in, but how it's 30% of AMI, right?
80% is the top, 80% of AMI is the top rent, 30% is the lower rent.
Right.
The average rent, AMI. The average rent is 65% across the entire project.
It is very low, and 60% AMI is low. An $80 million project, the benefit of working with a developer is that we don't have to pay $80 million for this project. They did the work to raise money. They raised a lot of private money to pay for this project. They did receive some tax, some public money from the state, but that's because the state understands that it's important for us to create housing. But much of, just want to remind everybody, much of this funding is private money that was raised by the developer that we chose as a partner because of their track record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's $53,000 on this resolution, 22 on the previous that we're voting down. There's also $118,000 last month that we may or may not be paying for. When is it going to end? What's on the pike next week, that next month that we're going to have to pay for? As you previously stated, that we took care of the demo that we weren't supposed to do, and for the tune of how much? $5 million?
No.
$1.3 million. So it's it does add up. You know, again, Penrose is a multi-billion-dollar company. They can afford to pay the incidentals on this project instead of us doling out taxpayer money.
Sitting on your hand.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to use figure $95 a night for emergency housing because I think that's a good number. And if you take that times 365 days and you multiply that by 164 rooms, that comes out to $5,686,700. So it's not a week. I mean, a week may pay off one of these projects, but in 1 year, we will save $5.5 million, a little, or, you know, give or take a little, by having this project completed. It was quite clear at the beginning of the project that Penrose would put in their money, they would find private money, they had a whole schedule of grants, and we voted that we wanted this project to go forward. We knew there would be some of it that we would pick up. Is it more that we're picking up that we intended? I don't know. I'd have to go back and look, but I think this project was part of what we were going to do from the beginning. So, just will reiterate that if we want this project and we want it done by somebody that we're not as likely to have to you know, wring our hands over down the road, you know, who has a record and experience of creating housing that is appreciated and valued in the communities. We are buying a top dollar firm to do this work for us. And so I think we should try to get this part of the project done with as little muss and fuss as we can. And, you know, if there were a way to go back and renegotiate all this now, I would understand the points. And I understand them as talking points. But in terms of, are we going to not have this work done and so try to get this firm to do it or leave this intersection in a bad state? It just doesn't seem well thought through to me to vote things down at this point in this project.
Can I finish up and answer a couple of points? This project's going forward. We have signed the property over to them. We're closing, I believe, next month on this. It's going to go forward. And you don't have to renegotiate anything that was never negotiated in the past. I don't know if this was negotiated as part of the deal back 3 years ago, and you don't either. So, you know, right now we're just going to be stuck with endless bills month after month for a project that's going to go forward. That this is mandated by the city planning board, if I'm correct on that. They need to do it. Had nothing to do with the deal we negotiated back in 21.
So I can appreciate some of the concerns relative to how numbers change and project elements change over time. I think we do all of ourselves a disservice to think that the development process doesn't have come with it changes that need to be made in order to essentially get the necessary approvals. And I think part of that is accepting responsibility when some of those changes that are needed are not only because of the new development, but also because of existing development and existing issues associated with the development that's there. Whether it's cleaning up sewage facilities, whether it's cleaning up water facilities, whether it's signalization, whether it's gates, all of those things are something that if you looked at Golden Hill and said, absent a project, what would need to be done out here to make the systems work, to make the areas to be a better neighbor, and to make the access more safe, you would probably come to the conclusion that while it may not be a priority, it would be things that you would like to do or want to do. And it's things that you owe the neighborhood to do. And for me, when I look at the commitment that the county has made relative to a housing action fund, which is setting aside $15 million to essentially deal with the affordable housing problem, and we are now out for requesting proposals to come in, which are due in tomorrow, to make decisions about how to essentially offer up to $3 million of that money toward an affordable housing initiative, to spend the amount of effort relative to sort of, I would say, being pejorative with respect to a developer that has spent probably millions of dollars in the development process, over $20,000, seems to be a bit of a stretch. And we can argue that maybe we should renegotiate in terms of how the signal is paid for, but maybe we should at least allow the design to move forward, since the design is critical to essentially making sure that the signal can be operational in order for the facility to get its necessary permits. I would just say, think of cost of capital, which wasn't what it was 3 years ago. Think of cost of insurance, which was what it was 3 years ago. Think of the issues with respect to the pilots that weren't there when we weren't 3 years ago. All of those, I think, come into play to say to us as decision makers, to you as decision makers, that you need to be prepared, whether it's this project or other projects, you need to be prepared that changes will happen. You'll be asked to essentially participate as part of those changes where you have responsibilities to do so. Thank you.
Chair Collins.
So I'm going to assume this is going to fail like the previous two amendment or resolutions have failed, but I just want to reiterate my stance that I believe this is a money that's well spent. We have roughly 400 people in emergency housing every single day in this county. We spend $10 million a year in emergency housing in this county. Getting 164 units as soon as possible will reduce that 400 people to 240 people. It'll save us a significant amount of money. Us delaying this by a month or 2 months, you're saying, you know what, you go pay for this, and then you go find a company to pay for this. It's going to take them time. It's going to take us time. It's going to take time for people to get out of emergency housing into supportive housing. It's going to cost us money. It's going to cost people lives. And it's upsetting to me that we're nickel and diming people's lives.
Dennis, you're saying that this will delay the project if we don't approve this tonight. Is that?
I assume it will because we.
Let Chicago address it to Ken as well. Sorry.
Was that just a major?
It was, yeah.
Well, the design process is ongoing. Signals, completing design process and going to bid takes some time. Signals now, relative to the equipment that's needed for Signals, is anywhere between 18 months to 2 years. So you may not, you're delaying essentially a completion of the design that you can go to bid while we basically look around to see if we can find other money. And then we don't know what that means relative to when we bid in terms of the ability to get the equipment to erect the signals. That's the key in my mind. It's not so much that there's a delay in the design documents. It's that what ends up happening is you can't find, it's like anything else, whether it be generators or anything else, it's a real or transformers. It's a real difficulty in terms of trying to make sure that that equipment is available.
By voting no on this, it will not delay the project at all. We see this all the time where private businesses are forced to put in red lights on highways and stuff. The building is up. The ground parking lot's up, and they're outside working on putting up a new stoplight or whatever the case may be, an entry lane. So this is not going to delay it. It's just going to force Penrose to do more of the put more of their skin in the game.
So we need to specify what we're talking about. I agree that it will not delay the Penrose part of the project, but if we don't move the design of this intersection and signalization forward, you just heard from the director of planning, it will delay it, and it will delay it by at least a month, and it could delay it by much, much more than that, because if we pass it tonight and we pass it on Tuesday, then they start, and if we don't, then they don't. So the process of getting this part done gets delayed, and if you want to have a project with, you know, many more people and many more frail people, you know, at a site without this part done, then, you know, then a no vote makes sense. I don't want to do that.
Well, but that gets my point. That's not what we're doing. This isn't going to delay the housing being built or the housing being ready to move into. This isn't.
It delays this project. Do we agree on that?
Well, that's what I'm asking. The answer I'm beginning.
So
it delays the intersection.
The condition of site plan approval relative to the project itself is that a certificate of occupancy will not be issued until the signal is operational. So you could have a project finished. We would have to go back to the city, assuming that the signal wasn't operational. You have to go back to the city and ask them for relief. Not likely necessary. I don't know what the city's response would be, but clearly the condition on the approval from the city is that the signal will be operational prior to certificate of occupancy issued for the apartments. That's just a given.
I was just going to say that the management of this project is an extremely intricate process, and if you were to see the Gantt charts and the software that tracks all the different action steps that need to be taken and who needs to take them and by what time, it's all a domino effect. So, you know, and it's all at different levels of government. We're at one level of government. There's many others. So when we do take actions like this, it is these types of actions that end up delaying the project over, you know, over periods of time. And just specific to this, I know, like, in many calls we've had with them, they've been following up as to the status of this item and others, because they are very, the delays in the project are not because of Penrose. Penrose is diligent about moving the process forward and tracking all the items that need to happen and managing deadlines. So this is why this resolution is up in front of you tonight, because it is important that it gets done to move the project forward.
Thank you. I have some experience with planning and zoning, working with Mr. Doyle in the town of Ulster, and I know when Birch's affordable housing was finally finished by Steve Aaron, it was one thing after another. The bus lane wasn't there in the right place. The town of Ulster issued a temporary certificate of occupancy. The housing was done. We were just doing some things on the side. That was part of the final site plan. The town issued a temporary CO. I'm certain that the city will do the same thing. I mean, if the housing's done, people can move in, and we're just working on the sidewalks or whatever, the lights. The city's not going to let that structure sit vacant. So a temporary CO will be issued. I guess my concern here also is where in the process, I understand this is part of the site plan approval, is that correct, from the city? When did we agree at the county that we were going to put the bill for all of these expenses? I think that's really what it comes down to. When did we agree to do this? I mean, if we did agree to do it, you know, we might have an obligation. But if this was part of the negotiation, I think this can still be negotiated with the developer.
So,
yeah.
So I can take what Legislator Kovacs is saying. All I can say is what's in the language of the site plan, which is a CO would not be issued, right? You could make an argument whether a temporary CO is legal or not. I would tend to doubt in a federally aid project with all of the concerns would be that a temporary CO would be somewhat difficult for the city to do, particularly because there's some promises to the neighborhood relative to the need for a signal and how people will be getting in and out of the site. So there's been some promises to the neighborhoods around that a signal would be there. That said, you know, negotiations with Penrose relative to this, I just want to say that, you know, we've been involved in this discussion for a very long period of time. There is a payment to the county here for the land involved of $1.8 million. So you're actually going to get back more money than you spent for the property that's there. I would also say that the negotiations back and forth have essentially resulted in the fact that there's likely to be or almost assured to be a preference that 70% of the individuals in this project will essentially be from and around the city of Kingston. So there's some preference work that's been done here as well. Can we negotiate with Penrose? I will commit to you tonight that we'll have a discussion to negotiate with Penrose in terms of where $20,000 comes from. But my point being is that we really would like to continue to essentially make decisions as it relates to getting the design completed and going to bid, and assurances back to the city that we're moving this forward. We get calls from the city, where are you in this project? Where are we going with this project, et cetera. The thing I would also tell you is the reason we're spending the additional money is because of a requirement from the city that they wanted to see that the right turn lane eliminated, which was not in the original proposal from the engineering firm. I find myself in a really difficult situation because I regulate developers, and we impose conditions on developers, and the idea of having a discussion that a condition imposed is something that we don't want to take up strikes me as an idea that what we should be thinking about is how to do this more efficiently. And if we're worried about $20,000, I really am concerned what we're not worrying about going forward in terms of things that we may or may not have to do in order to do affordable housing development. And there's a certain, and this is sort of me personally, not professionally, there's a certain resentment to the idea that essentially
private sector housing is looked on as people making more money than they should. And I think when you look at the real estate pro formas here, and we've had a presentation of those real estate pro formas, the profit margins here are really slim. And the developer's fees that essentially get earned for 15 years are significant enough that essentially the developer is collecting minimal fees for 15 years and relying on profit margins for an $80 million investment of less than $200,000 or $300,000 on an annualized basis. And I apologize for taking the committee's time, and I thank you for giving it to me.
Let me just ask some of those who voted no on amending the capital project, which is something we can look at over time and is money that we could try to get from another source, to reconsider for this resolution, which is about going forward with hiring the firm to start doing the design work. Because if we're talking about will it slow anything down or not, this seems to me to be the step that is more time sensitive. And if we voted out of committee tonight, then that gets us to the point of on the floor, and maybe we can gather some additional information between now and then. But with all that we've done and all of the pushing that we've done to get affordable housing going forward, this county has been in the way of several projects. And so being in the way of this one, just especially at what could be a time-sensitive step, it doesn't seem like it's worth, in this case, $53,000 to take that risk. So ask you to reconsider whether or not you can get this out of committee. And I hear there's commitment to looking to find this money so that it doesn't come out of the county, but we're going to spend a ton more money later in this meeting and on Tuesday to build bridges because those bridges are about to fall down. Well, our housing situation is in worse state than our bridges. So if you're going to vote millions of dollars to fix these bridges, which people could keep driving over, and we could try to get more money out of the federal government, this $53,000 is going to be pretty well spent, in my opinion.
This is bigger than this one expense. I think that's the point, and maybe I'm getting lost here, is this is not just the first time that we've been down this road with Penrose. There was a presentation, I will use that word, given to us back in September, August of last year to show us this project and where it was and where the funding and where the shortfall was. And almost surely, most of us, if not all of us who attended that, expected the request for additional funds from the county. Fortunately, they did get grant money, so that didn't happen. But there has been this repeated attempt to get us to pay more and do more towards this project. And I just want to know, when is it going to end? And I appreciate Dennis saying you'd go back to them and try to, get them to pay for part of this. I just would question, why didn't we ask them to pay for this in the beginning?
We did, as it relates to the work that was done at the city level when the signal came in, recognizing the shares of traffic that were being generated by the existing uses on Golden Hill versus the shares of traffic that were being generated by Penrose Project, we came up with a 60-40 split, which essentially, I think it was 60-40, don't quote me on it, I gotta look. But they're carrying in their budget money for the signal and for this work. So they're carrying in their budget, I think, I don't remember the numbers, but they're carrying in their budget so that they're going to pay a share of the signalization costs. Given where we were and the fact that we were responsible for that signal, the design cost, we started the design cost discussion. Quite frankly, we weren't of the opinion, given the design cost that was started out at somewhere in the neighborhood of 20, I can't remember the original numbers, but I think it was 30-some thousand dollars for the design cost for the signal. We didn't think that that was an issue, quite frankly, for the county, given the fact that you were improving the safety of those individuals that were using the Golden Hill entrance on a regularized basis, particularly as it relates to your transit facility, which is up there. That's why actually we weren't we weren't concerned. Let me put it this, let me put it differently. I wasn't concerned. I would say that Penrose hasn't been back to us for any additional money at all relative to the presentation that was made to us. They haven't requested any additional funds, haven't requested any change relative. Remember, we were having discussions mm-hmm. about whether or not we could change the way the reimbursements were made to the county on the basis of the lands. Given where they are now in terms of gaps, we're not having that discussion relative to payments to the county of the $1.8 million, which is due on closing. So that discussion is in. So I don't see a situation where we can say that Penrose has come back to us and asked us for additional money. We committed to the work relative to the demolition that was committed to, was agreed to. Then we committed to, the city made us commit to the signalization. We split the numbers with the signalization. We can go back and have a conversation with Penrose with respect to that. There are additional grant funds, you're correct. They do have some change to their gap that they worked out. But it seems like we're negotiating against ourselves and forgetting a public benefit. And for me, I'll leave it at that. That's the only thing I would say. And to have this length of discussion over the amount of money that's here is difficult.
And just let me clarify, I meant since they were originally awarded the project. I didn't mean since the September one. I was just saying I expected another ask after that, which did not come, and I said it didn't come.
Yeah.
I was saying since they were originally awarded as the recipient for the RFP, out of there are four or five that were up to be potentially selected, we've chipped in a lot more than what was part of the original. So just stop and say it and leave it in that. Are we, from a procedural standpoint, since we voted no for the one, are we even able to do?
Somebody on the prevailing side will need to reconsider 211 if they want to.
But I'm saying if we just voted yes on 212, would that even work? How does that work?
I don't think so. Like,
because we don't have a budget line against which to put the 57.
That's fine. You're approving the contract, but you're not adjusting the
contracts in the capital. That helps you.
Yeah, but we're not adjusting the capital.
You're not adjusting the capital. Could you pay for part of it out of operating, part of it out of capital? That
the contract say capital or just appropriations?
$20,000. Good with that.
I think we'd have to reintroduce 211 with an amendment finding it.
Jeremy, Janice, is this amendment a contract for it?
Say that one more time.
It's amendment of contract.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And that contract that exists, you're operating?
It exists in the capital.
It exists in the capital.
Yeah.
So let me, I don't want to, you can do this informally, but I'm just going to ask the question because, again, this is something that hasn't come up since I've been here. If we were to go back and then reconsider 211, but amended to say that the appropriations come from sources other than county funds, that means you'd have to go back and find somewhere else other than, let's see, that type of wording. We're transferring usually out of one to the other, so how do we normally do that?
Well, that says we're transferring, increasing the capital project.
Appropriation amounts, that's okay. So if we said that the funds would have to come from elsewhere other than appropriate fund balance, that means somewhere else we would have to find this money. You would have it at the amendment into the budget. Excuse me. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. No, so I would just ask, let's do it the full way, and not get into that, because we're talking about $70 million project, and to ask staff to do some of this work is a transaction cost. And you know, it's easy enough for us to say we want things done this way or we want things done that way. So it loads up work on somebody else to have to go negotiate, you know, to find this one.
And if we were talking about $50 million or maybe even $5 million, and I'm sorry to say that these amounts of money seem small enough to me to merit just streamlining a little bit, but I think they do in the context of this kind of project. I do think we should look at every dollar, and maybe we go back and look between now and Tuesday, but this project to me, partly because they got the grant money, has seemed to me like it's been in a good place. And I don't have the same sense that's been articulated here that, you know, item after item has been kind of coming to us, or that it will continue, because we've had this much discussion about this, which is part of the original project. And so I think if they come back to us for more beyond this or something new, then that's the time to negotiate that.
There's no question about that. Look at the use of money that's already in the project.
Yeah.
That means they could just be short there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so.
Okay, so that.
You want him?
Nick left. This is the right time. So what we're just talking about is, so if we don't, we've already defeated 211, so the overall capital project budget is already set. This would just make it mean that they would be running, in theory, a deficit of
30-something.
Yeah.
20,000.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I should have waited till you walked in the room.
Say it again anyway.
Yeah.
We can all
so since we've defeated 211, we're not adjusting the capital budget. So that number stays the same. But now we're approving a contract for $20,000. That means the money can still come out of the capital fund for this project. It just means that fund now has $20,000 less than what.
But I don't know if there is any like spare money in it. Do you know what I mean? Like it might all be accounted for in contracts already. That are already.
Does the contract actually say capital appropriations, or does it say just appropriations? Because we had the same issue with the gate last month where, you know, you defeated the bond, mm-hmm. but approved the contract and approved the capital fund. But the resolution that you did approve did not point back to capital appropriations mm-hmm. specifically. It just said generally appropriations. So we're thinking that you know, may not need to be addressed last month, so you could potentially proceed in a similar way this month with this particular item, if that was your.
Is Vicky or Jason here? Can they look it up in the meantime?
Vicky might be.
Okay. After she can look that up in the meantime. We can come back. Yeah, we can table this to come back at the end.
The actual language from 212, is that?
Yeah, if you could, Nick. Oh, yeah, you can do that. That'd be great.
We can just do that just to be safe. So
all right, I'm going to motion to table 212.
Second.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, all right. Please, somebody remind me to come back to this.
Okay.
I don't think we'll forget.
No problem.
Yeah. Break that real fast. Yeah.
I think we're going to have to do the same with 213.
Yeah. So let me skip over to 213. I'm going to go to 2.
No,
that's
different.
That's a different one. Yeah, that's resolution 213.
I'll move it.
Second.
For adoption.
Second.
I'll second it. I need a brief history on this.
This is a study that is done by the Ulster County Transportation Council. It involves Route 9W in the town of Ulster that runs basically from Aldi's all the way up through Bread Alone. It's taking a look at that whole corridor, what can be done with it. The additional funding here is essentially to make sure that we can visualize some of the improvements that are proposed to include them in the study. Good news here. 100% federally funded. We use staff time to match the federal funds, and the staff time is already budgeted.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. I think I have to wait for
we're moving now.
Well, we've run a roll.
Making up time.
We have one holdup. The only holdup is that our clerk isn't present. And I don't want to start. I don't want to start breezing through things, and she's going to have to play catch up. Let's just give it a second. And,
you need to, yeah.
Well, no, we were moving forward. I didn't want to go too forward without you actually starting to track what we're doing. So 213.
Did we approve it?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you get the motion and second?
Yeah. No.
It was
the Roberts and
Nolan.
Okay, so 7-0?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Resolution 214, can I have a motion?
I'll happily move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
So carried. 215.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? The only discussion, I send separate questions in on this and the next one also. It's not for this, and it's a little late now to get these answers, but I would like to know, related to the youth employment programming in general, what are we paying per labor hour? What I mean by that is, so we're paying the hourly rate that we're paying for the people who are working for us, but then we're also paying an amount for United Way to administer these programs, do the payroll. So what is that divided by the number of hours that we're doing? How much is that costing us? And I don't care if we say, okay, it's 15 plus this amount, or it's separate amount. I would just like to know how much are we paying them to essentially run our payroll. It's an academic question. It's not for tonight because I don't have the answer, but it is something I did bring up. Hopefully,
I think we've had that answer in previous years, and this is 100% federal money also, right? Both of these. So. Mm-hmm. We should know, but it's our money in the national sense, not the county sense.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 216, move the motion.
I'll move it. Second.
Okay. I'm sorry. 216 with the motion.
Was it Roberts?
Roberts, second. Nolan.
Nolan.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, let's go back to, well, the answer is they're married to each other, parent child, as I was just explained. So
fail both of them.
Yeah.
Is there somebody from the side that would
reconsider 211?
Sounds like we're voting on 213.
211 and 212.
Yeah, 212 then.
211 first.
If I can get a commitment from Planner Doyle and from the county execs team that they will go back to Penrose, they will ask for them to chip in for this, and that there is a clear message, at least from me and it seemed like a majority of this group, that we are not looking to keep on being a funding source for this project. They had an RFP that they submitted. It was to put in affordable housing on Golden Hill, and there should have been some cushion in their budgeting when they submitted their proposal. They need to live by it. So I will make a motion to reconsider 211.
Is there a second?
A second. Well, you do have
all
a
right.
Second.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Discussion.
Mr. Chair, about 10 minutes ago, you asked the question, when does this end? Obviously, with that reconsideration, it doesn't end tonight.
I think we have more leverage if we defeated the resolution, then went back to Penrose and said, hey, we have some issues with the county, the legislators don't want to pay for this. What can you do?
My understanding from the discussion from on this topic is that we are getting chip in from them on this. But I understand that they're paying 60% of this and we're paying 40%. There's a 40-60% split on this, and is that correct on the signaling?
That's correct.
So they are chipping in money on this. So it's not all on us. So.
Right.
You know, it is an expense that was not anticipated, I'm assuming, in the initial contract. And after the initial contract came out, after they started doing work, City of Kingston said you need a signal, and we negotiated a 60-40 split. I'm not sure which way 60-40 goes, but they did put money in on this. And they're asking us to put money in on this too, because it's a condition that did not exist in the initial contract. So it's hard to do an RFP, to do a bid and then have someone come in later and say you need to spend X dollars more because of conditions that they did not anticipate and we didn't anticipate. So I think they've already chipped in on this. I think that's so saying, you know, you have to chip in, they've done it. So that's why I support this. That's why I support 211 and 212.
Yeah. I know they're chipped in already. I'm saying they should chip in more. I think this is based on the traffic. That's another question I guess I should have asked before. But this traffic study that you referred to, current use, that's current use. That's not based on what will be there in 18 months from now, correct? Because we maybe in theory, I don't know that we'll be that quick to build it, but we do have the emergency services dispatch center moving. I don't know if it's that quick, but hopefully.
Yeah, the traffic generated by emergency services, given the amount of people there, is pretty minimal. And then you have whatever you're going to do with the mental health building in terms of relocation of certain county departments, which will add right back into it. And there's also look at other structures up there for other types of uses as well. Yeah, and you have, you know, there's
yeah. All right. And I guess to address the point, I understand we lose our leverage. I fully acknowledge that. But I think it also sends a clear message. Number one, I think there really needs to be more investment on their part than the 60% that they're currently chipping in towards. But then I think the message also is going forward, don't come back to this well because the well is dry.
Mr. Chairman, thank you again. I think their 60% is all smoke and mirrors. Right now, I'm looking at a resolution that says $20,000 or $22,000 on 211, the one we reconsidered. It doesn't say anything about Penrose paying 60 or 40% of that $22,000. If they're going to chip in on some imaginary project down the road, then that's fine. But right now, they're not paying a dime on this $22,000, nor are they paying anything on the additional $20,000 in the next resolution. Is that?
They're carrying money in their budget to essentially reimburse the county for its cost for the signal.
The signal, not this resolution.
But they're connected, so you're looking at a reimbursement based on the capital project. So when you have your final tally on the capital project, you know, that will be what we'll base that on. And they're carrying, I think, somewhere, I forgot the number, but it's in the $200,000 or $300,000 range.
Is that in writing, Director Doyle?
It's not in writing.
So can we amend to make that a requirement tonight? That ever?
Why not?
Nick, can you just sort of spitball that language real quick on what it would say to require them to base 60?
Do you want to just, come up with a new number instead of, in other words, you're only funding partial amount of the cost?
Before you go too far down that
road. If it's $20,000, right, or $10,000.
Well, but yes, I have a contract.
The contract is going to be approved for $10,000. They're going to have to amend it.
So I have another suggestion before we try to do that, because I think that'd be very hard given that you've got multiple lines in the spreadsheet, but the where you want to get to seems clear. So can we charge, and maybe it doesn't actually end up in the resolution, but charge the team that's been working with Penrose to get that kind of percentage for this or something else, that because if this has already been paid for or something, just that this kind of split be obtained for this, and maybe you bring back to us also a list of all the things that have been like equivalent of change orders since the contract was laid out, and we look at it, because it just seems to me like there's multiple moving parts, and to lock this one in without having that information in front of us tonight is maybe going to make it a mess.
But their commitment was specific.
Pardon me?
Their commitment for percentage was specific to this.
So right, and I think that the charge could be to get that for this, all other things being equal. And
so what's the harm in putting it into the resolution to require it?
Because if there's some reason that can't happen, then now you just ripped everything apart, and they might be willing to put 60%, the equivalent amount of money, into a water main or something. And I would like to leave our team with the ability to negotiate like that, rather than having them say they have to have this. You know, it's like, can I have the red flower in your pocket? there's a whole garden here. Can I give you one of those instead? If we want to make sure we get the red flower, that I'm okay with. Just, you know, that one in the pocket may be the hardest one to get.
Mr. Kovacs?
I would suggest postponing this resolution and then going back to the Penrose, seeing what deal we can make with them. I mean, if we approve it, we have absolutely no leverage, and we know what they're going to do. They're not going to change anything. If we go back to them, we say, resolution defeated, or it's postponed, we have some issues, what can you do for us?
Chair, I don't know if it was lost in the discussion earlier, but I just feel like to emphasize that they're not coming back to us for every single thing. They have eaten the cost of the water system, which is it's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
More than this.
So they are not coming back to us for all the additional costs that have come up throughout this project.
But the water system is something that, again, that when they put into their budget, when they put in their proposal, they have to have a cushion in there. They've got a cushion for unknowns. And when you do a project, you're going to have expenses that are going to pop up. It would be unreasonable for them to come back to us. I don't know. I just don't see it that same way. What are people's appetite for, I know we're trying to keep this to one meeting a month, but giving the till Tuesday and having session night, having a quick for just these two resolutions.
I'm fine with that.
Whatever is.
Audit's at 4. Can you guys do 3:30?
I think we have a full night that night. If I, but I don't have a problem doing that, Mr. Chairman.
Well,
again,
you shouldn't take that off.
Again, you were very kind in reconsidering this, and I appreciate that. But again, nothing has changed since that. Even, you know, we're getting one, you know, story after another why we should do this, and, you know, nothing has changed. The fact is that we're paying for something that a multi-billionaire company should be paying for.
Well, I think it gives a few days for the exec team to go back and get us a commitment on their part to fund it.
And I agree, and I'm willing to, you know, vote for a special meeting or whatever you want to do with that. Postpone these until Tuesday.
What's your call?
And if they come back and they say no, what do? We just don't build a project? I mean, what's the option here, guys? What's the desired outcome? We're looking at $20,000 of our cost to be able to get 164 units of supportive housing, and we're pressuring them for $20,000. But to me, that's a penny for dollars. It's a ridiculous. I'm going to use the word ridiculous, and it's a ridiculous ask for what we're trying to get out of this, and delaying it 2 or 3 days to say, you know, can we squeeze a little bit more money out of them? It's foolish. It's penny, you know, it's whatever. Pennywise, pound foolish. It's just, we need supportive housing. We need it now. We need it today. We need it tomorrow. We don't need it, you know, years from now. And the longer we take to approve this, the longer it's going to delay this project, the longer it's going to take them to build a supportive housing, the longer it's going to take us to get people out of emergency housing. This is costing us money. Every single day that we say no, it's going to save this. We'll probably spend $20,000 between now and a week from now in supportive housing.
I agree, but I am willing to come back in a week if it gives comfort to people to have this conversation. I think it's an awkward conversation. And I worry about how people who bid on our projects, you know, view it when it gets reported out that, you know, Ulster County, you know, threw down, you know, said no when it came to, you know, the $20,000 for something that's on the, you know, it's a city road, I guess, rather. It's a county road there? State road. And that county and city people use. So I would like it if we could resolve it today in the direction of moving this project forward. And I think that these costs that come up along the way,
if they try to come back to us with anything else, I think the team has heard all of this. They can know that there's been hours-long conversation about $20,000. That sends something of a signal. I guess signal is the wrong word to use here. but I think that there's a benefit in just going ahead to pass these two resolutions tonight, and by doing so, keep this this element of the project from being a stumbling block. And if we don't have any other stumbling blocks, then we can go back at some point and say, oh, we could have argued longer about that $20,000 or $75,000. But it's a good project. If this project had come to Public Works de novo, that this is what they were proposing, and I looked at it and I said, oh, I used to go up there a lot, up to the top of Golden Hill, and this will be better. So we will get a $75,000 value out of this project, whatever else happens. So maybe we can find something else to use as a signal, or just use the conversation and the intensity of the feeling that they signed on for this and that they should take these kind of costs out of contingency. And maybe that would have been better. But I don't think it's better now, given where they are on it and how we'd like them to move forward. We want them to move forward as quickly as possible. I think that's a consensus. So how do we get that to happen? I think we reconsider this and pass it.
I think we've already reconsidered. We're
Mr. Chair, if I could follow up on that, I promise to keep my mouth shut. My main concern is not billionaire developers or millionaire developers that might see what we're doing tonight. My main concern is 180,000 people in Ulster County that work hard every day and pay taxes. And this may only be 20,000. The next one's 22,000. Last week it was 118,000. It all adds up. What we're doing here tonight is sending a message to the county executive and to Penrose that they need to start picking up the tab, and we're going to put an end to this.
Yeah, just to be clear, though, this is not, so if we're talking about sending a message, the message also is that when the other RFPs came in, they included demo in their price, not the county paying for it. So, there could be an argument made that we've gone very far afield from what the original RFPs that were submitted to where we are today. We're very far afield from that. But I'm willing to, it's already been approved. The demo's happened. There is no more building there. So, we're fine. Somebody just had their hand up. I was going to make a motion, but then somebody put their hand up. I'm sorry. It was Richard Collins.
I'm just going to call the question. I think we.
Well, I was going to actually make a motion to postpone this 212 and 213 to 430.
211 and 212.
I'm sorry, 211 and 212 to 430 or immediately following audit on Tuesday.
I second that. I think it probably needs to be before audit, but special meeting on Tuesday. We'll go with that.
Okay.
Special meeting on Tuesday to be called by the chair.
Yeah.
The exact time.
Yeah.
Legislator hands it was seconded.
Yeah.
On the postponement.
Yeah.
When we postpone this, and we're going to talk about it Tuesday, are we waiting for more information from the exec's office? Are we expecting Penrose to have a check for $22,000? What are we doing?
At minimal, I am looking for them to commit to the 60%. I argue it should be more. But at minimum, there needs to be that commitment that this is they're still fitting 60%.
In writing?
In writing. That's what
there you go.
That's my charge.
That's a good compromise.
Listen, Tom.
I don't know if it's reasonable to ask a company to get a contract done in 2 days.
I'm listening.
But that's the committed in writing. But that's a contract.
Well, they can send an email with it, committing in writing. I'm.
Can we ask Deputy Executive Contreras if that's something that could be a possibility? You've been in the negotiations with them.
I think that they might be able to send an email.
An email. I mean, this has been a regular discussion. The real question is what? How much is 60/40? That's the real question because of the cost of signals in terms of what they what they've gone to. That's a real question. So, I mean,
it's not a dollar amount because we don't know the final dollar amount. So, it's the total. It's whatever they want to be.
Do you already have that email?
No, but it's been
kind of verbal commitment.
Yeah.
Okay.
We know what they're carrying in their budget.
Okay.
All right. All those in favor of special meeting at some point on Tuesday, we know that.
Aye.
Opposed? Here. One opposed. I'm sorry.
Thank you. I'm not
opposed. Call too, that's separate.
Yeah. I didn't see her, but.
I think we should just do it separate.
Okay.
Okay.
Motion.
Can I ask a quick question? Is 211 still defeated or?
No.
So that has.
Heard it okay. And then thank we you. Moved it thank to. You. Okay. Resolution 212, motion to have a special meeting on Tuesday at some
postponed
second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Aye. All right. Uh, 217, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
One second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Resolution 218, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 219. Can I have a motion?
Make it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 220. Can I have a motion?
I'll move
that's
it.
It. Second. Nolan. Discussion.
I have a discussion on this. So I agree with the need for a mental health person. I'm not sure that I agree on the need for four positions. I believe that there might be ability to use existing unfilled positions for this instead of adding three new salaries. So I can agree with the hardship part of this. But I think that there is unfilled positions that can be used in reassigning this. And I believe that the sheriff, and I've heard the secondhand information after I've heard from the sheriff, that he would be okay with that. That we do get to the position for mental health, but they'll allow him to reassign other people for this for the position. And the sheriff is not here and the office is not here.
Yeah, the office is here.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Aye.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see that.
if you could give me 1 second, I just wanted to say that I am the sponsor on this, and quick, real quick, is that this is a state mandate from 2022. With no funding, so that's why when I went to NYFAC, this was on the radar for wellness. We do have a bit of a wellness center, but we don't fund it properly. So we have some guests here tonight that are going to discuss it, and you all got this in the email, or we have some extras here. So Juanita, and would you, your proper title, please.
So yes, hi everyone. I'm Juanita Hotchkiss. My title is I'm the director of the Community Incarcerated Services, the division head. This is one of my programs at the sheriff's office.
Yep, I'm Jimmy. Excuse me, Jimmy Mullen. I'm the undersheriff.
Yes, and so I do want to address that question. Of course, I think that's an important question. We have vacancies at the sheriff's office. However, those vacancies are meeting a state requirement and a mandate for us to have a specific number of staff based on the size of our facility. And so we can't necessarily just turn those positions over, or otherwise we will be out of compliance. So there is a little bit more to it than just turning it over, but I want to give you a little bit of a background about what we're trying to accomplish here, because I know it's important to everyone in this room. Officer wellness, first responder wellness is community wellness. It's our community. In 2022, the New York State Division for Criminal Justice did issue an accreditation standard mandating that accredited agencies create an officer wellness program to address access to resources, prevention and intervention, peer involvement and support, as well as critical incident response. The Sheriff's Office is one of, I think there's four other accredited agencies across the county. All other agencies, first responder agencies, including fire, EMS, dispatch, are not accredited. So with that said, the sheriff's office is seeking to create a wellness unit that is well-staffed and well-funded to serve the entire community of first responders in Ulster County. There is currently nothing funded and nothing specific for first responders in Ulster County. I shared with everyone a vision of a model. All of the programs that I work on implementing with the sheriff have a very similar model. It's a proactive approach, and so we're using evidence-based practices such as the FBI Officer Resilience and Wellness Model, Critical Incident Stress Management, and a traditional care management model. What we hope to do is to be able to train resiliency officers, so peers, to be embedded in every law enforcement and first responder unit across the county, and to develop a bit of a referral system back to our unit. So peers are in the unit, they're reviewing incidents from the day prior, they're reaching out proactively to their peers, they're asking how they're doing, checking in, hey, you had a rough call last night, checking in, and then referring to our resource coordinator, which I know that our resource specialist, which will be, in our vision, a social worker. So I did give you a bit of an outlay of what this will look like. It is something, it is incredible need. We have 4,300 active first responders in our community. First responders generally do not seek help through traditional means, as all of you know. This will create a comprehensive, coordinated, and equitable system of care for all of our first responders in our county. So not just accredited every first responder, and we're talking first responders, retirees, and volunteers. So every first responder in our community. And so I'll end there, but I'm really happy to answer some questions. I can talk to you about mental health statistics. And obviously, you know that we just had a pretty tragic incident in our facility. This is a need, and we really do need it to happen today. It should have happened yesterday. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a mandate, and I really appreciate that not only that we will do what is needed, but that we will do it in a way that will really work. And so I think doing it as it's outlined here is really important. If we later find that we can handle it some other way, then we can look at it again. But I think putting this in place really fully, if we expect to do community policing, if we expect to have volunteer ambulance services as we do in much of the county, and volunteer firefighters as we do in much of the county, providing this kind of support is a bare minimum. So I think we should do it, and we should go ahead and do it fully.
Thank you very much.
So I've had several conversations with the sponsor about this, and I expressed my frustration about trying to add positions outside of the budget process. I'm usually a stickler for that. I think that that's the right way to do it. And then the other night I was honored to go to the Sheriff's Awards dinner, and I heard story after story after story after story about these first responders and these officers putting their lives on the line, and the trauma. I could only imagine the trauma that they experience every day, and it totally changed my mind on this. This is a critical need, and I'm in support of it.
Thank you.
Say, Chair Criswell, so exactly what I that even had a conversation with Legislative Hanson earlier is normally I am a stickler as well for not doing positions outside of the budget process, but quite honestly, this is something that should have happened at the budget process last year. This is much needed. I don't think we can move fast enough. So.
I just want to offer a comment from the District Attorney's Office. We're obviously fully in support of this. We just recently worked with the Sheriff's Office in one of the most horrific murders that this county has seen. And the grand jury panel afterwards, wanted to ensure that we receive this type of mental health care as first responders. So I wanted to offer the support. We wanted to do something formal. We haven't had the opportunity because we've been responding to incidents for the past week. But you know, it is something that there is a dire need for, and our prosecution becomes stronger if we have law enforcement that's taking care of our mental health.
So to echo what Chairman Kozel said, you know, the stories that he had heard the other night were just the sheriff's office. So this unit is going to go out and help volunteer fire department, volunteer ambulance, other police departments in the county. And it's going to really make a difference to keep these officers well. I mean, to make sure that they're well to go out and take care of the community is, I think, the most important thing that we do. So that's, and the reason that I know there might be some unfunded positions or funded positions that are already there, but we need a supervisor in there. We have to have someone to oversee it. We have to have someone to keep track of everything. Mm-hmm. And the deputy and the corrections officer that we put in this was because right now there's one full-timer doing it, and then there's part-time retired guys that are security guards that are just helping out on their own time here and there. So mm-hmm. we put these full-timers in there because it's necessary.
It is. And
so I just want to say, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's good.
I just want to say that that we have so many first responders in this county, and this is only going to give us four, it'll give us five people in this unit. And how many calls did you say we have for service? Thousands of
calls for service. I mean, but we have the capacity. We don't have the capacity to serve the entire community as we wish. And the one full-timer we do have, it's an ancillary duty. So he has many other duties. This is not his job. This is a task assigned, and that is not good enough.
Yeah, I'll just speak personally. As a 20-plus-year member of the Volunteer Ambulance in Ellenville, while I appreciate the work system is done and is doing, you're right, people don't seek it out, and having a proactive now approach to actually go to them, and, you know, because there have been members that I've seen, no longer members, that it did take their toll on them, because, you know, you offer them the system as they're, you know, they can go talk to them, but if they don't do it, it's sort of just that's where it lays. And you know, all the training you can go through is, you know, the academy, the EMT class, the paramedic course, none of that can prepare you for some of the things that you walk into. It just doesn't prepare you for it. So having this is, yeah, more than about time. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution 222. Motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
I have a comment. I'm not sure it's a question. I support this funding, but I will say that I have more complaints about the ignition interlock system from people who were required to use it than I expected. It's very difficult to use, and so I support that we have a law, that we have funding that comes from elsewhere to ensure compliance. But I hope that we can, as part of insurance compliance, also offer some assistance for people who have trouble, you know, managing the physical requirements of blowing and doing this or that, to people who have technical problems with the equipment. So I hope that, and I'm not sure who we could address this to, but whoever's receiving this funding, if they can build in assistance as well as compliance, I think then we'd be having the best use of this money.
Yeah, so I can take that. We can certainly bring that back to probation and have a conversation with them about offering some level of initial, you know, troubleshooting and some of those conversations. As of course, probation ultimately is the grant recipient here, and they're the ones to do all this funding. So absolutely, I can bring that back and report back next month.
Great.
Well, just comment, if the report I heard on NPR a couple of weeks or so ago is true, in 5 years we won't have to worry about this because every vehicle is going to be autonomous and we won't have to worry about it. So it's a very scary report to listen to.
I bet our probation department will come after some of them.
Good point. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution 223, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Answer discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Resolution 224, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. 225, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second. Discussion? Favor?
Aye.
Carry. 226, can I have a motion?
Move it.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. 234, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
I'll second. I had a question. Is the contract amendment is for $71,857. That brings the total to $192,297. There were two different numbers. And I'm not sure.
I guess 230.
That's Deputy Executive Contreras.
Where were the two different numbers?
The resolution title says 71,857, and I think the total on the resolution within the body of the resolution or at the end was 192,297. To match up.
Is that correct that they're both for 71,000?
No,
I think the agenda has an error.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you want to just read from the goal sheet?
So the
title of the resolution should say for 192.
So Nolan, I have the goal sheet. Yeah. So resolution 234 says approving the exclusive contract for $192,297 with Health Alliance of Hospital at Mary's Avenue campus.
So the typo is on the list of resolutions.
On the agenda.
Okay. I withdraw my objection.
Okay. So let's do this the right way. Let's know, and will you withdraw your second on this?
No, I'm happy to second it as read from the sheet.
Let's withdraw your.
Oh, I withdraw the second. It was offered in ignorance.
Okay. Let's see your hands. Did we withdraw the motion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I'll the second
motion.
Again.
Okay. So now the motion for 192,297 for resolution 234.
Thank you. Yes.
Motion. Second. Mr. Nolan.
Yes.
Any discussion?
No.
All those in favor? All right.
Aye.
Carry.
Thanks.
235.
You know what? We were paying attention.
Yeah.
We worked it out.
Resolution 235. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Kovacs. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Vote. So carry. 237. Can I have a motion? I'll make it.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? One opposed? Mr. Kovacs. 238, can I have a motion?
I'm going to change lines. I know it's going to change.
I'll move it if it hasn't been moved. I couldn't hear those comments.
238, Legislator Roberts was changing his vote on 237 to be announced. 238, can I have a motion?
I'm moving it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 239, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
So carried.
I make a motion that we block resolutions 242, 244, 246, and if it's possible to add the bonds of 243 and 245.
So
those are all bridge
through
246. Yep, 242 through 246.
Okay, motion to block 242 through 246.
Second.
Discussion? In favor of blocking?
Aye. And I move the block.
Second?
Second.
Answer. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution 247. Can I have a motion?
About 245.
That was
the
block.
It was
so you can block
the
bond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Move 247.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 248. Can I have a motion?
Make it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 249. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion?
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 250, can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 251, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 252, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 253, can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second? Second. Roberts, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 254, can I have a motion?
Moved.
Second? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 255, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 256, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 257, can I have a motion?
Make it.
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 258, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 261, it's late, can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried.
Under new business, Mr.
Yes.
Chairman, I'm going to make a couple of motions here. One is to keep the 2025 budget request flat at the 2024 adopted value of $919,250,000.
Second, Mr. Kovacs. Discussion?
Yeah. Is that, where does that come from? That recommendation?
Natalie, where does this come from?
It's keeping it flat from what was adopted in this current budget. There's been no interest in increasing it that I have heard.
Okay. That's kind of what I'm looking for,
yeah.
Is the context.
Yes, if anyone would like to.
It's all in context.
Now's the time if you want to.
Flat seems good to me.
Just
wanted to make sure I understood.
Right, we have to vote on it.
All in favor?
Opposed?
Okay. Next one.
And the second one, I make a motion to utilize our first option to extend the contract with the capital market advisors for the analysis of the 2025 county executive recommended budget.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All you got?
All I got.
Funny.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Controller's office?
Yes. Good evening. Mark Jasmine, Desk of State Courts. The county has earned sales tax revenue $44.4 million so far in 2024. Sales tax earnings have increased by 5% when compared to the same period in 2023. We've earned $1.36 million in occupancy tax in 2024, or 22% of what is budgeted. Budgeted interest income for 2024 is $6.7 million. We've earned approximately $2.7 million. The Pennsylvania Department of Finance has worked diligently to file the ADP, the AFR, for New York State. There will need to be some adjustments made going forward. I believe we'll receive a letter. We will be preparing a quarterly report for the fourth quarter of 2023 this month, and we expect a reasonable signal in June. We're still working with the finance team to transition the bank reconciliation process to the finance department, which will allow them to catch things sooner. And we coordinated with the finance to remove the AP level of approvals as it was duplicative in our review. Claims approvals are going smoothly off this session. With respect to cash, as of March 31st, 2024, we have $207.3 million in bank. $52.5 million is in our IntraFi cash service account, which is earning 5.19%. $106 million is in our Pennsylvania County Deposit Plus account, which is earning 5.2%. And we have $73.4 million in our deposit account, earning 1%. fund balance. We ended 2023 with $159.6 million in the general fund and total fund balance of $145.7 across all government funds. The reason for the decrease is capital projects fund has a deficit balance. Audits and reports. We received management comment on our corporate compliance audit, and we are reviewing those materials. We're in the final phases of testing and analysis for our health insurance audit, and we are preparing a snapshot report on sales tax and community college chargeback. Let's see. We've been interviewing departments that have had management transition or provide critical services within the county. So these have been useful. And our quality analysts, we have had good conversation with the executive's office about the quality survey and have identified a preliminary group of people to discuss contract reporting. Constituent services include Chair Criswell, Legislator Nolan, Deputy Secretary Ferris, and at least one department head. We will be looking to convene that discussion in early June. Any questions?
I'm not sure if this is to you or to the finance commissioner. The sales tax, the amount that is allocated to the town, I mean, let's say, does that take place? Is that or specific to that?
The sales tax?
Yes.
That gets sent out to the town. Twice a month. Goes out once a month to certain quarter with others, and that's based on what the state requires us to do.
Right, under the sales tax city, there's a provision that there's extra money that's not. That's
oh, the extra 1%.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that started?
That process would be in the same process as the other funding, as far as I understand. That's kind of still new to that area.
Okay, I talked to a couple supervisors today, and they said that last year about this time, there were discussions about, or actually the payments were made. So I wonder if you could look at that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
And the same question, when are the allocations determined, or how are the allocations determined between the county and how, like what goes to what town? How are those allocations determined, and when are they determined?
That's a percentage.
Yeah.
Population based.
I think
population. I thought it was based on sales.
So the commission towns at 3% of the sales tax agreement is set based on the assessed valuation of each town.
Mm.
And so that is updated annually by the Department of Finance, and that's how we distribute the 3% index.
So assessed valuation on each town?
Yep.
Is based on the assessments of the towns?
Based on, yes.
So a town that is not assessed in 10 years is not getting sales tax, it should be getting.
It's going to be the, crazy call, the director of real property called the,
full market value, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's full market.
It's adjusted for those towns, local worsening that don't, have not.
So it's equalization rate.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You said
I apologize, Chip.
No, you're fine.
You said that sales tax is up over this quarter, up 5% over projected amounts.
Year to date, it's up 5% when compared to the same period last year.
That's a celebration.
And at the end of last year, what was the amount of money that we're over? Do you have that offhand?
Over budget?
Yeah, on roughly sales tax.
$3 million, I want to say, but that's off the top of my head.
3.6 would be the exact number.
That sounds right.
I'd rather get down to just the pennies. But
a good game tonight, isn't he?
Yeah, here. He's got the
I just want to note the interest we're getting is 5.2%. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And we're paying for bonds, I looked at 5.25%. So we're not actually.
That's not entirely correct. We need to take into account the premium that we earned. So on the BAN, the bond anticipation notes, the effect rate is more like 4.2.
Yeah, so
we're actually making money. So by putting out a bond, by bonding out, we're actually saving money, making money. Want to be clear on that.
Yeah, so that's what I was waiting to have to talk about. So I asked for this, and I have a summary report here that I just got for this meeting. That's what it appears to say the last part where you told me not to get too excited.
Well, I would look into the current outstanding debt that we have. We have some bonds out there that have maturity towards the end. Some of the payments could be at 5%. Again, Natalie and I think we very briefly before this meeting discussed that you had looked at some of the callable bonds last year, I believe. So that's something we should continue to discuss for sure.
Yeah, but before this meeting even started, I said to him, I could put this to bed because I feel comfortable, but we still have to keep an eye on it. But yes, I feel better that we're not spending money when we have money in the bank. Right. We could think, so I'm much more comfortable with that.
I heard that concern from you last session, yep. And I understand that concern. Glad we
got it. But that's not to say, though, we still are spending money on going through the process of approving bonds for bonds we're never taking. That is a different, yep. That's a different subject. That's still happening, and that's something we need to be more mindful of. If we're paying to go through the process of having these written up, and I think it was $300 or something around that, that is just wasted money. But in terms of losing money on the interest that we could be earning versus bonding, that I'm no longer concerned.
Okay.
And just a question to fill that out is, if we have a bond that's callable, are our options to go ahead and pay it off, or do you do something like renegotiating bonding rate? I don't know what happens with a bond that is too high.
So you could pay it off. There could be penalties. I'd have to look at the specific terms and the contract. But yeah.
Just to bring back to what we had talked about before, comparing 23 budget to 23 actuals for sales tax, we received $3,569,995.88 above what we budgeted, $167,000.
You're short, Kevin. How much? Just this much short of your free
time. Round it up.
All right, I like it. That's your call.
So same question on occupancy tax. Where are we on the percent of expectation? I think 22% is what you said.
Year to date, we've earned 22% of what's budgeted for 2024.
Okay, so we're on track with what the budget is.
Yeah, we're in the slower budget.
Yeah. If I may, too, there is a little bit of a lag with those January collections that end up getting moved. So it's not a straight, pull that out. 3 months
of that. All right, so it follows the sales tax order, which isn't that calendar.
Right. Hold on.
Good job.
Anything else new?
Just the calculations for the sales tax are current and maybe not.
Okay, thanks.
Anybody else? You old? Yeah, well, yes.
So we will be monthly presenting on capital projects. For this committee specifically, we're focusing more on the financing side of things, so getting into discussions about bonding, where's the cash, and really looking at how we're doing our capital program overall. So Don Quisnell is here. Don is our deputy budget director. We have two. We will be presenting monthly on some of the kind of high-level overview of where we're at with capital, what projects we're looking at, also to bring up projects as we move through the process. A lot of times you see the resolution for the project pretty early in the stage, so then it's like, here's the update on where we're at with construction, here's if we're on time, on budget, we'll always be early, we'll always be under budget. But we can help. So those kind of updates will be presented on a monthly basis, and Don, if maybe you want to do a quick kind of intro on what you're looking at, how you've done the analysis.
We've been instituting a monthly meeting where our goal is to give data to you on a monthly basis. One of our goals is historically, what we did in the capital program, is to send the team numbers based off of what we require to bust the funds. Our new goal is now to present that on a cash flow basis, so that you can have an annualized basis how much we're spending this year, and how much we're actually supporting. So a lot of that, we have a living list of all items, capital projects that the county has, whether they be legacy or whether they are missing capital programs. We've been meeting with DPW, planning, environment, on a monthly basis, and calling in additional departments as needed to review their projects as they come to hand. Some of the things I'm happy to tell you is I understand that you've been asking for a net present value analysis on bonding of capital projects going forward. Every resolution we send you guys now, we have a net present value analysis. In addition to that, we're still early in the process, so if there's certain things you'd like us to report out, please by all means let us know. It's appropriate. And then in a month or so, we should have a first draft of a little.
Yeah. And just so the committee understands where this came from, I had brought this up and I spoke with Liz Fingerland as the chair of Public Works. We keep on, from Public Works standpoint, them knowing what's already in the hopper and where it is in the timeline of getting completed, because we keep on approving project after project and not realize that we've got a backlog of projects that we've already approved, and it's sort of unfair to, in fairness to the exec team, they've got to get these things done, and we just keep dumping more and more. It's helpful to see where we are on a timeline of how many are now in the works, and is it maybe time to put the brakes on some things to get some of these projects done. From this committee standpoint, I just want to know where we are. Timeline is also money, but also financially, are we over budget, under budget, or do we anticipate that we're going to be over budget at some point in the project? And knowing that before we get these amendments to contracts, that's really what sparks to me. So I keep seeing all these amendments to projects. I'd rather know before then. And I think, getting back to, I don't want to really touch too much on Pembroke again, but just getting updates like that would help us to know what's actually happening instead of this feeling of we're just waiting for a project to come to fruition and it just feels like it's taking forever because I just don't think we're hearing anything. So getting a monthly update between both committees, we'll know what's going on, and hopefully that will ease tensions and frustrations on both sides. So,
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry to bring this up, but since you did bring up Penrose, I got a question. I got a question for Director Doyle here. Since you're going to go and ask them for a 60-40 in an email on the light, we still don't have a source to pay for the gate. Are you going to ask them for a 60-40 on the gate?
No. The county has agreed long before this project was part of the decision making. The county agreed to put the gate up for the neighbors on Glen Street.
Is that in writing?
Multiple emails, whether it's in writing or not, but there's multiple emails.
Could you, to make it easier to sell to my caucus, could I get one of those emails?
Sure.
Thank you.
My understanding also is that that's in the minutes of the planning board from...
The planning board did, at the city level, did require it as a step, but before that requirement was in place, there was a commitment from this county that essentially we would do the gate for the
No, that's what I was going to say, is that there's a commitment from the previous county executive in the minutes of the planning board meeting for Kingston for the county to do this. Whether that's binding, that argument could be made that it's not, but still that commitment was certainly, from what I understand, was made at the planning board level of the Kingston.
So since we're going into these matters in more detail, I'd just like to recommend everybody a book in relationship to trauma, especially in law enforcement, which is My Grandmother's Hands by Resma Menachem. And Resma Menachem is a social worker who does trauma-informed counseling of both victims of police violence and law enforcement officers. And the book is also written for the general public. And so if you want to understand more of what it's like from all kinds of perspectives, it's a really good book to educate ourselves.
So I just want to go back to some comments on the capital program. One is that the direction that the executive staff is taking, the direction that the legislative folks are now taking, corresponds to comments that the county planning department and the county planning board have been making with respect to your capital program for the last 4 or 5 years. And I think it's really, really great to go out and take a harder look at the individual projects and how they're progressed. I would also tell you that it is as important to step back and look at the chair made some comments at the beginning of the meeting that indicated that there were major or concerns relative to the potential costs that are coming down to the county in the future. What I would say to you is that a good look at your capital program will reveal that you have not only on the employee side, but also on the capital side. And some of the things that you start to think about is your capital program was adopted and looked at before construction costs went up by 30% and 40%. And that's a real concern. Your current capital program that you adopted essentially has within it the chart that shows the debt that's authorized and unissued. It's $123 million of debt that you've authorized that we haven't issued yet relative to these projects. The point I'm trying to make is that sitting back and looking at finances rather than looking at projects is something that would be really, really important. I would also add that the budget team and the executive team, particularly Mr. Don, as we call them, has done an amazing amount of work in terms of trying to make sure that we understand where our capital program is at and moving it forward. And he deserves a lot of credit with respect to that and putting this work together. And I really, the county executive, in terms of making sure that we have our intention on these capital programs and understand what's coming forward, really important. So I think what's happening now with respect to this committee and what's happening in the Public Works Committee is really needed.
Yeah, and thank you for expanding that, because that's what I meant by that. I was that, you know, we have bills to come soon that everybody thinks we've got this pot of money that we're just sitting on, but we're really not. We've got projects, we've got expenses, salaries. There's a whole host of things, and prices as of right now don't seem to be coming down. Things are just going to get more expensive. So,
and what I would say is that it's really easy to look at a capital program and start to measure your success by the amount of money you spend. But if you're spending twice as much money to do on a project, then you can spend twice as much money and do half the amount of projects. Yeah. So you really need to keep an eye on what your goals are in terms of the projects you need to complete, not the money you need to spend.
Yeah.
All right. Close out with one thing. It is May, and that means salary study. So when do we?
Yeah, I thought I talked. Yeah, I briefly spoke about that.
Did you?
Earlier, yeah. So
I'm sorry.
So that is supposed to be coming out at the end of this month to be presented here or a special meeting.
I don't know that we have decided yet.
Okay.
How the presentation.
Okay. I'm sorry.
And I can. But not end of. Yeah. No, we'll have initial results by end of this month.
I can provide an update, sort of real time. We've been working with Baker Tilly on this project. The counties that were selected, there was a group of kind of individuals who were like, let's look at Dutchess County. All of the department heads were interviewed as part of that. Some of the counties have been slower in providing their comp data to us. So we're working with Baker Tilly right now to get an exact update on the timeline for it, that in order to do the full analysis of like title by title across kind of all other counties and all the other jurisdictions, we need to have enough cohort data to do that. So we're still working through some of that. Those delays in getting some of that data will impact the timeline. We don't expect it to impact it severely, but we do need to get an update timeline from Baker Tilly now that they're working forward. We were able to reach out kind of the one-on-one to several counties to say we really need this data. This is why it's so important to us. Again, it gets back to that point of we have to have accurate data in order to do the salary study the right way. And our titles are very comparable to other counties. Unfortunately, they're not comparable to school districts or to other entities within our county that we can really pull from. So a lot of that work is still ahead of us. We are working with Baker Tilly to make sure we can prioritize and get it moving as quickly as possible. But we will provide an update. I'll get a firm timeline. We'll provide an update on that.
Okay. Anything else? To adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
I can second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.